Today's daf in Masechet Chagiga, brought to you from Eretz HaKodesh, is daf Dalet. We were talking about insanity, and we were talking about how it was that you could be koveya, even though particular actions and behaviors might be explainable as not being totally mad, but when there gets to be a pattern of three, so then it has the same din as a Shor HaMuad, and we therefore say that it's Nase Muad Lakol, and the guy is simply flipped out of his mind. Okay. By the way, it's very interesting because according to the Rambam, Nase Muad Lakol only means that he's Muad to all three of those Minim. It doesn't mean that he's Muad to all Minim the way all the other Rishonim learn. In which case, it's a little bit strange because it's not, according to him, it's not a perfect remez to the idea over here, in which the guy is nuts, not nuts for these things, but nuts, and he's putter from all the mitzvahs and so on. Okay, but anyway, I just mentioned it as a side point because it's good to know that issue in the Rambam. Omer Rav Papa. So today we're on the second line of Dalet Omen Aleph, and Rav Papa says, look, Rav Huna, who claimed that you need to have a pattern, I tell you, if he would have heard the following Braita, he would have changed his mind, because he would have seen that the Braita is against him. So, Yishmiel le'lo Rav Huna, ha'detanya, zehu shote, zeha ma'abed kol meshamash notinim lo, havi hodarbe. Had he heard that someone who loses everything that you give him, that guy is a shote, doesn't say you need a pattern, that seems to be enough. So then he would have had charata. Iboilo. Ki avi hadar be mi mikarei aksuto hu da avi hadar be? The damilo hotel mi bikulo avi hadar. Are you saying that he would have had charata because one really unusual, abnormal behavior is an indication of some mental infirmity, and therefore he's wrong in insisting that we need to have a pattern? Because, I don't know, maybe you could come up with some explanation of a particular mental disease in which the person can't be, there are such things, which a person cannot hold on to things that are given to him. So does that mean that he would have had charata specifically from the idea of the person who tears his clothing because it's similar to this? Or does it just mean that one is enough without a pattern? Because, I mean, maybe there's something that is so deep in a human being to want to assert ownership and to hold on to whatever is theirs, that it doesn't make sense that this person would have some disease. But maybe other things can be accounted for by some kind of crazy explanation. That is unclear. Anyway, getting back to the Mishnah. So the Mishnah says that a tumtum and an androgynous are both considered to be potter. Now, how do we know that? Tana Rabbana. Well, it says, kol zechurcha, right? So zechur is there to exclude women. And by definition, zechur means male. But why does it say zechurcha? You're male. Like, well, what does that add? That comes to add the zechurcha, that comes to add the idea of lohotzi tumtum v'androgynous. And when it says any of your real zechurcha, that's rabot etakitanim. Wait a minute. Hold on a second. You're telling me that I need a pasuk to exclude women. Why do I need a pasuk to exclude women? Are we not talking about a general klal over here? I mean, isn't this a mitzvah saseh shasman gorma? I mean, you can only come up for yontiv on yontiv. So that's sort of a zman gorma, I would say, wouldn't you? And the halacha is that kol mitzvah taseh shasman gorma nashim are peturot. So what would be the need for pasuk to exclude them? Ah, because that's the point. Look at the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi concluded from the comparison of Ria to Hakel that, in fact, nashim were chayavot. So the way we understand it is that nashim are peturot and needed a pasuk to say it's peturot in order to avoid exactly what the Yerushalmi makes a mistake in. Namely, the Sakadat Hamina, Nelef Ri'ya Ri'ya Mehakel. And we would say, just like by Hakel, it says, Beferish Nashim Ar Chayavot, so then Ri'ya also would be including Nashim, Afkan Nashim Chayavot. Therefore, Kamash Malan, we have the Pasuk, Zechur Lohotzi Et HaNashim. Now, let me understand this a moment. You're saying Zechurcha is coming Lohotzi Tumtum V'Androgynous. Now, I understand why I need a Pasuk to tell me an Androgynous, because an Androgynous is neither male nor female. Maybe this is like a third sex. So we need a pasuk to tell me what is the din of that third sex. That's called birya bifnei atzma. It's a different sex. And therefore, it makes sense to say that you need a pasuk. But I understand that. Maybe the partial maleness is enough to be mechayev him. Kamashman, that actually birya bifnei atzma, and we're not mechayev that third sex. But what about a tumtum? I mean, a tumtum is either male or female. Now, it happens to be that his genitalia are covered, and therefore we don't know what he is. But, I mean, that's a suffix. So why do we need a pasuk to tell me what the din is of a suffix? And we don't need a pasuk to be mamayat a suffix. Now, this is a bit of a problem, you must admit, because why don't we need a pasuk to be mamayat a suffix? Because, I mean, if this is, okay, I mean, Tosfos says, well, because Lamaisa, since he's a suffix nekeva, he would not be able to bring his carbon ri'ya. So in terms of what the halacha would be, if the Torah wouldn't have told us to be mamayit, so what would we have said? That suffix should be l'chumra, and now we would need to know otherwise, and he's actually prosecuted. He would not be able to bring a carbon ria. So therefore, I don't need the pasuk to tell me that. Why wouldn't he be able to bring a carbon ria? Because maybe it's chulin ba'azara. I mean, is that really true? That's what Tosfos says. But couldn't he make a condition and say that if I'm a zohar, so then this is my carbon ria, and if I'm not a zohar, so then this should be just a nedava. Now, obviously, he can't bring that on yontev itself, but he could bring that on the other days. But then that's a question. Somebody who wasn't able to be Yotzi on Yontov, can he be Yotzi on the other days? But then it would be Nogia that Machlokes, right? And then there's another problem, which some of the Achronim ask, which is, why don't we say that the essay of Re'ias Panim should be Deiche, the love of Lo Yiru Panai Reikam? Okay, so I can't bring a carbon. But that's not a problem, because we saw before only somebody who's included in Hava'ah is included in Bia, that the two are interrelated. So, okay, that's a big sugya, fascinating sugya, but there is another universal sugya that this is nogea, and that is that there's a big machlokas. Is suffik d'oraisa l'chumra, is that itself a din of d'oraisa, or is suffik d'oraisa l'chumra a din d'rabbanan about how to act with a suffik d'oraisa? And some learn that even the Rambam is made that when it comes to mitzvahs asay, that the chumra would be a d'oraisa, even though the other is it's mashma that it's only mitzvah, but in terms of iser, but in terms of a chiyav, at least that's the Chavis Das holds that, just a grandfather of mine. Anyway, so then if you hold that, then if you don't have a special p'tur, we would have been mechayev mitzad ha-safek. So the Torah has to come along to tell me the mitzad ha-safek, you should not be mechayev. Okay, I mean, there's a lot of discussion over here about this issue. My own sense of the sugya is that when it says, do we need a posik to be mamayet sveika, it's not because it's coming to tell me that the suffix you should act with differently than you normally would have acted with the suffix. It's just that the Torah doesn't tell us dinim about suffix, that there should be a klal where the suffix derives from l'chumra. Fine. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't speak about sveikas. You deal with the suffix. I'm not telling you what the halacha is mitam the suffix. Anyway, so getting back to the sugya. So what would be the explanation of taking a pusik and needing a pusik to be mamayat the case of the tumtum? So halam alikra? That's the question. Omer Abaye, you don't understand. We are not talking about a suffik zohar, suffik nekeva. We're talking about a vadai zohar. This tumtum has got testicles that are visible. Remember that the tumtum is only a flap of superficial skin that's covering over his genitals. So fine, so we know that he's a male. Now the question is that all that's involved? Now you see, this has to do with the whole idea of taking organs of the body very seriously in the sugya. so that when we're talking about ears, we mean ears, fully functional ears. We're talking about eyes, we mean fully functional eyes. And so we're talking about feet, fully functional feet. We're talking about legs, fully functioning legs. How about if we're talking about genitalia? So then the question is like this. The idea of Zechurcha tells me, wait a minute, when you're talking about maleness, you're talking about the aspect of the male which is penetrated. I'm not talking about the fact that I know that he is male. I'm not talking about a hormone test. Basically, testicles are a hormone test, but they are not what makes a male a male. They're a sign of being a male. And therefore, the fact that I know that he is male does not mean that he is Zechurcha. He has to be a full-scale male that you would identify as male. You don't see his maleness, and therefore you don't relate to his maleness. That's the point. And that's, again, so consistent with these other inyanim that we have found about the idea of Re'iyah. So he has to be similar, Zechurcha. He has to be able, we're going to see in a moment, even bigger chidushim in that way. He has to be part of others, the way that people are, sharing their consciousness, sharing their ability to walk and to be able to go together, and as we're going to see, to share even their society, as we're going to see in a moment. So that would be the meaning over here. Even though Beitzav Mibachutz, we know that he's a male, nonetheless, he's not included in the Chiyuv. Omar, Kol Zechurcha includes Ketanim. The Mishnah says that Ketanim are potters. Bring me a pasuk. Chutz Mecheira Shaita V'Katan. Omar Abaye Lo Kasha, Kan Bekatan Shigia L'Chinuch, Kan Bekatan Shelo Higia L'Chinuch. The pasuk is for the cotton that needs to come because of Chinuch. Cotton Shigia L'Chinuch. That's not a pasuk, that's a drabonon. That halach of chinuch is a drabonon on a cotton. Where in the world did you come up with that from? You're right, of course it's a drabonon. Ein achinami, this pasuk that says kol zechurcha l'zrabos es hakotan, that's an esmach to be alma. Oh, so what's the pasuk for? I mean, it's a good point. It does say kol zechurcha. You're telling me it doesn't mean to be marbe ketanim, so what does it mean? Elokrala mayata. The pasuk is coming to tell us an amazing chiddush. The pasuk is coming to tell me l'kida acherim. Acherim omrim hamikameitz v'amitzaref l'choshet v'habursi peturim min hari'iyah. This is an amazing din that somebody who collects dog dung in order to work on skins, it was used as one of the sources of chemicals for tanning, or mitzaref l'choshet. So that's someone that actually mines and refines the nechoshes in the mine where it's mined. That person stinks. Both of these people smell. And a tanner also is involved in all of these awful chemicals. They're all putter min hari'iyah. Why? Because they smell. So what? It says kol zechurcha. That means there is a commonality, a social commonality. And believe me, when these guys walk onto an airplane, everybody moves their seat. And therefore, they cannot be oila with everybody else. And because of that, they're not related to kol zechurcha. Mishi yachol la'alot im kol zechurcha. Yatzu elu she'einan ru'uyim la'alot im kol zechurcha. You remember Naftali had that experience when I went on Ethiopian Airlines once. Some guy sat down, every seat within 10 seats of the guy. Nobody would sit there. It was amazing. He had like his own place. And even that was not far enough, but there weren't enough seats on the flight. Incredible. Anyway.
The guy that comes to visit us from Malawi, they actually call him Stinky. Everyone calls him that.
Wow. Crazy. Anyway, so getting on with the Mishnah. Nashim v'avadim she'inan meshuchrarim. Now, what does that mean exactly? Avadim she'inan meshuchrarim. Okay, the nashim we learned out. The nashim are pturot. We learned that out from the Zohar. Okay, fair enough. But avadim, what does avadim mean? Omar v'vuna omar kroi, opnei ha'don Hashem. Mi she'inu el ha'don achad. Yatzezer she'yesh lo ha'don acher. Because the Eved is not able to relate to God as master, because he has a master. Wait a minute. Well, can you explain to me why are we looking for a pusik? Where the heck would we be able to be mechayev an eved? Isn't an eved only chayev in mitzvahs that a woman is chayev? And you already told me the woman is putter. Why do we need now a pusik? Tell me. Michde, kol mitzvah. Sha'a isha chayevet ba, eved chayev ba. And any isha mitzvah she'ena isha chayevet ba, ena eved chayev ba. Because we learn that out from the pusik of the katav la and the gezera shava of chufsha lo nitan la, which is basically eved shivcha, same idea. So we learn out la la mi isha. So why do we need a pusik? Oh, Meravina, lo nitzchel mi shechetzio eved vechetzio ben chorin. I mean, look. Read the Mishnah carefully, and you'll see, obviously, that's what it's talking about. Daikanami, diktani, nashim, v'avadim she'enam meshucharim. What is that supposed to mean? Avadim she'enam meshucharim. Well, obviously, they're not meshucharim. If they were meshucharim, then they wouldn't be avadim. They would just be like anybody else. So, my she'enam meshucharim. I mean, that doesn't mean there was no shechur at all, so then just say, it's avadim, stoma. You don't need to say that they weren't meshucharim. El alav. Sheinan Meshucharim Lagamre. It means that they are not totally free, is the point. And therefore, we're talking about Mishchetzu Heved Vechetzu Ben Chorin. And we want to know, why would that be not Chayev Mitzad, the Chelek of the individual who is the Ben Chorin? So why wouldn't he be Chayev because of that? Comes along the Pesuk to say that the fact is that this person does not relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as his master in toto. And that's what a master means. Ha-adon. Because of that, he's potter. Except, of course, the way we're understanding the Gemara, though the Rambam apparently has got a different approach, which is not clear. But in any event, except according to the Mishnah Achrona, where the pashtus of the Mishnah Achrona is that since we are being mechayev the Odin to let him go, even if we haven't done that yet, he still does not have another master. Because he doesn't relate to this guy that the court is going to force to free him as a master. All he has to go is to the police department and tell them to get this guy to let him out. So therefore, even though he is in fact without a get shechru, but the very halacha of the Mishnah Achrona, where Beis Hillel agrees with Beit Shammai that we're going to end up forcing his shechru, that itself is sufficient. Next thing in the Mishnah we had, Hachiger, Vahasuma, Vahachole, Vahazakein, all of these people are also not included. These in the price are not included. Tana Rabbana. So all of this comes from the Shalosh Regalim. Now we're about to contradict ourselves because we read Regalim eats Prat Labale Kabin, which is not really true because we saw earlier that Bale Kabin is actually from Pa'amim, because that's Pa'amim Bana Alim, which obviously means that you're wearing, you have a foot to put into a shoe. Okay, but we'll talk about that in a moment. Davar Acher, Regalim, tell me that you have to be able to use your foot. And therefore, not if you're lame, not if you're too sick to walk, and also Prat to the Suma, where you can't walk around, and the Zakein, She'en Yochol La'alot Raglav, all of these people are not free to be able to go up there. So anybody who cannot walk up, what do you mean anybody? You just said all of the people can't walk up, right? You said, Zakein, Chola, Suma, and so on. Well, what are you adding with Enu Yochol La'alot Raglav? So Latuyemai, what is this Enu Yochol La'alot Raglav, unquote? Omar Rava, this is coming to include the people who are too spoiled and fastidious to be able to walk around barefoot. Why do they have to walk around barefoot? Because it says, Ki tavo lirot panai, mi bikezot miyatchem remos chatzerai. You're not supposed to trample on the Beis HaMikdash. What a chutzpah. You know, wear your shoes. I mean, civilized people take their shoes off before they walk into their house. You come into my house wearing your shoes? You know, I see we've got a smile from Bobby from Toronto, who where they are civilized. We should have a smile from Richie. I don't know, but Richie doesn't show his face. In Finland, they're also civilized. There we go. Okay, so if that's the case, the guy's too spoiled to be able to walk around without his shoes, let him not come to the Beis HaMikdash. Tana, Ha'arel ve'atame, piturin min ha'ri'iyah. Now, what about the idea of an orel? Where did that come from? I mean, I understand a tame cannot come into the Beis HaMikdash, because it says, ubata shama ve'veta shama. So you first have to be mutter to come. The tame is not allowed to come. So he couldn't be included in the chiyav of heveta, which would mean, of course, not that he would come, but that he would be chayav to send his carbon with somebody else. Joe, I can't make it myself, but I have to bring the carbon. Ria comes on the pasuk to tell me, no, you have to be able to get there in order to be able to be chayav in the carbon ria. If you can get there, so then you're chayav in the carbon ria, and maybe you could send your carbon ria. That's something else. But if you can't get there, then there's no chiyav of the carbon ria in the first place. Okay, I understand that about the tummy, but where do you get the oral from? So koshi yeshno v'bia yeshlo bava koshi yeshno v'bia yeshlo bava oral oral minola. Ah, well, that actually we know the shita of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva is marbe orel to be the equivalent of a tummy. We're talking about over here an orel where he was from a family of hemophiliacs. Because of that, he could not get a bris milah. We're not talking about somebody who chose to be a mumer legabe arilut. And even so, Rabbi Akiva says he has the same thing as a tummy. D'tanya Rabbi Akiva Omer, when it says in the pasuk, Ish ish mizera Aharon v'utzarua ozov b'kodashim lo yochal, and so on and so forth. That extra word, ish, is coming to Rabot to Arel. So that someone who is an Arel is the equivalent of a Tame. Tana Rabbana. Tame patur min hari'iya, dichtiv ubata shama ve'veta shama. Kol sheyeshno bivya, yeshno bahava'a, v'chol she'eno bivya, eno bahava'a. Rabbi Yochanan ben Davo, Yomer Mishum Rabbi Yehuda, Suma be'achat be'enav, patur min ha'ri'iya, she'ne'amar ye'ra'eh. This is the way we read it, even though the Gemara over here is going according to Rashi's girsa, as we'll see in a moment, but there is another girsa, and we change it, various people change it, so that it can read like Tosfos's girsa. So remember that Rashi's girsa is Yira'eh, Yira'eh, and Tosfos' girsa is Yira'eh, Yira'eh, which is very different in terms of how we're learning it out. Kederach sheba leira'ot, kachba lir'ot. Maki sheba leira'ot, it would be b'shtei enav shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, af lir'ot is b'shtei enav. That would be the girsa according to Tosfos. Rav Huna, when Rav Huna got to the pasuk of Yera'eh, which we darshan Yera'eh, Yera'eh, he would burst into tears. And he would say, what a tragedy that an Evet Shirabo Mitzapelo Lir'oto Yitrachek Mimenu. Here we have a Kadosh Baruch Hu waiting to see us. That's what we're comparing, Kiderech Shabbat Lir'oz, or the other Lashon. I mean, that means that a Kadosh Baruch Hu wants to see us. And he's there, he's asking us to come and to be seen. And then we should find the pasuk that we just had a few moments ago. Mi bikesot mi atchem remotz chatzirai. Who asked you to trample my yard? Get the heck out of here. That's a horrible, horrible difference. Rav Huna kimoti lahai krobochi. Rav Huna used to cry when he came to this pasuk. V'zavachta shelamim v'achalta sham. So dafka bringing shlamim and eating it in the Beis HaMikdash, what is the pshat of the shlamim? That I'm sharing my meal with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're sitting down together at the same table. Kivayachol. And I'm giving a chelek and a mizbeach, and I'm eating a chelek. So that means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to sit at the table. Shirabo mitzapel echol al shulchano. And we should get to a matzev in which that same desire turns into disgust. Yitrachek mimenu. Dechtiv lomali rov zivchechem yomarash. Get out of here. I'm not interested in your korbanos. Rabbi Elazar, kimati lahai krobochi, v'lo yachlu echav la'anot oto ki nivalu mipanav. So it says that Yosef's brothers were utterly shocked into complete silence. They had nothing to say. So now, what does that mean? They had nothing to say, because there comes a moment in which all of a sudden, everything about yourself becomes so evident to you. All your lies that you've been lying about yourself to yourself, all your justifications, everything that you've, the narrative, this is a narrative of 20 years that they've had, And all of a sudden, the narrative is shattered to smithereens, and they're looking at Yosef, and he is the Melech of Mitzrayim, and they had tried to kill him, and they were the ones that ended up propelling him to the... Oh, my God. So it's just like, I mean, according to the Medrash, they died. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent the Talaf Tchias HaMeisim to be Mechayah them. Utter, total shock, okay? And this is coming from a human being. It's coming from your kid brother. I mean, come on. So imagine someone who comes, each and every one of us, coming in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's din, in which he shows you yourself in the mirror. This is you. So what are we going to do? If that, if a tochacha shel boser v'domkach, tochacha shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu alachat kama v'kama. So he used to cry whenever he got to this pasuk. Rabbi Elazar kimati lahaikra bochi. Remember I pointed out to you yesterday that the element of bechia is related deeply to re'ia. We don't know why that's true, but it's evident in terms of the relationship of tears and eyes, which why the heck would tears be in eyes? Fine, that we need to think about and discuss, but it's clear that the sugyas have a great deal to do with both re'ia and bechia throughout. Rabbi Elazar kimat alaikra bachi. Vayomer Shmuel el Shaul. So this is when Shaul went to the woman to call up Shmuel from the dead, right? So the woman said... What?
It's Aindor. It's also
eyes. Yes, 100%. It's Aindor. So Shmuel says to Shaul, why did you scare the hell out of me to call me up? Now, what do you mean scare me? Scare you in what sense? He was terrified. Because Mashmuel had tzaddika yamit yarei min ha-din. He was afraid that he was being called to din. Can you imagine Shmuel at tzaddik being terrified of being called to din? Oh no, alachat kama v'kama. How do we know that Shmuel was terrified of the din? Shmuel mahi, because this woman says to Shaul, Elohim ra'iti olim. I see these incredible people that are like gods. Olim is a lashon rabim, right? So it means that there were two people that were coming up. Why were there two people if she had only called up Shmuel? Well, one of them was Shmuel. The other one was the fact that Shmuel had gone and asked Moshe Rabbeinu to come up with him. Amar le Dilma chas v'shalom ledina mitpa'ina. I'm scared. What if I'm being called up to the din? Please come with me. The leka milta de katafta b'diraisa deloki amtia. There's nothing that you wrote in the Torah that I wasn't mekayim. So I need you to be made on me. Tosfos asks, I mean, how is Moshe Rabbeinu supposed to be made that Shmuel was Mekayim? Tosfos says, an earth-shattering pshat. This, again, this is something that my Rebbe Reb Chaim used to bring over all the time. Tosfos says, of course it doesn't mean that Moshe is supposed to be made that he was Mekayim the mitzvahs. He was asking Moshe Rabbeinu to come and to say, look, the reason that I acted the way I did is because I understood the Torah to be saying that that is the correct way to act. Now, I'm scared that I'm going to be told that that was wrong. I need you to come up and say that's the way you understood it too. So if that's the way you understood it, you're the one that gave the Torah, so then they can't have any tainas on me. There's implications of this. Obviously, the tzaddik is not worried about doing something wrong. He's doing something that he thought was right, but it was wrong. And that itself is the Omek HaDin, so that if Moshe is to play any role in saving Shmuel, it obviously can only be in the sense of sharing the same diak. So coming to be made, sisters, Shekein Lamadata Gamata, that's the way you understood the sugya. So the tzaddik is not worried about the din in terms of what he knows he did wrong. He knows he didn't do wrong. He's worried in terms of what he doesn't know is wrong. That's something else.
But this contradicts Rav Moshe Feinstein's introduction. He explains Elu Ve'elu, and he says it doesn't matter. Even if he's wrong, he gets reward for it. He brings a whole bunch of proofs for it, as long as he does it with the correct intent.
Yeah, but it has to be Elu Ve'elu. We don't say Elu Ve'elu on everything. There's some things, and we don't say Elu Ve'elu on all Dorot either. they have to be included. That was the sugya we had before. Eilu b'tarif, eilu b'tami. Okay, you have to be able to use your brains. Okay, another lashon. Rabbi Ami used to cry in this pasuk. Kimati lahaykro bochi, yitain ba'afar pihu, ulai yesh tikva. Maybe there'll be some hope if you put your mouth full of dirt. Omar kulei haiv ulai. What you mean? Even that's not enough. Maybe there's hope. Like you've given up on everything. You've treated yourself like a piece of dirt. You think nothing of anything, and there's just maybe hope. Rabbi Ami, kimati lahaykro bochi. It says in the pasuk, Bakshu et Hashem kol anvei haaretz. Bakshu tzedek. Bakshu anava. Ulai tisatru biyom hafashem. You spend your life searching for justice, searching for anivas. Maybe you will be hidden on the day of God's anger. Amakule haivu ulai. Like, what more can we do? Rabbi Asi kimati lahaykro bochi. Sinura ve'avu tov ve'atzigu b'shar mishpat ulai yechanan Hashem lokitz v'kot sheirit Yosef. Kulei haivu ulai? You did everything, showed justice in the gates, and it's still kulei haivu ulai. Rabbi Yosef kimati lahaykro bochi. It says in Mishlei that yesh nispe below mishpat. It's possible to be collected, meaning your soul is collected, and die without justice? It's possible for just an accident for a person to die? Yes, indeed it is. Because, so as we saw earlier in the end of Moed Katan, there were people who had a very good relationship with the Malach HaMavis, and Rav Bebi Bar Abaye was one of those people. So anyway, they were once sitting in a Starbucks, and the Malach HaMavis says to one of his cohorts over there, listen, George, will you please run over and bring me a soul, number 6731BX. The name is Miriam Migadla Dardake. We need to have Miriam the nursery school teacher. So he goes, Miriam Megadle Seir Neshaya. We need Miriam, the hairdresser. And he goes and he brings Miriam, the nursery's teacher. Miriam Megadle Dardekai. Now, you'll notice the strange relationships to the Christian, right? Miriam Megadlana, right? But what is she, Megadlana? Okay. But anyway, so which one was it? You know, the famous whore? Or was that just Pope Gregory who decided she was? He didn't know who she was. He made a mistake, but it doesn't matter. It's an amazing thing. Who Miriam Magadlana is, in terms of the Christians, was a mistake made by Pope Gregory, who was the agent of the Sultan. And it's exactly this Gemara. Anyways, the Gemara says, he brought the wrong Miriam Magadlana. So he said, oh gosh, I told you to bring Miriam a godless Seir Neshaya. What the heck are we going to do with this kindergarten teacher over here? Okay, that's who I said. You listen to instructions. So anyway, the shliach tells the Malach HaMavis, okay, I'll bring her back. No, don't bother bring her back. Once she's here already, let her stay. Okay, so since she arrived, oh, my tita, lavi l'minyana. So let her just join the rest of them. Anyway, but I don't understand. If it wasn't her time, how did you manage to get her? There should have been, we have those special, you know, force fields preventing these kinds of mistakes. I mean, this is supposed to be a error-free process. How'd you bring the wrong person? Well, I'll tell you, I happened to pop in to the nursery when she was Nikita Matara Biyada. Vayavika Shagra, she happened to be putting this shovel to take out the bread. So she had this poker, and she was stoking the oven. You know, she takes it out, and she ends up accidentally putting it on top of her foot instead of on the floor, and she got a terrible burn. And this was Itra Mazala. So her mazal, this, what mazal as we understood it, was damaged because, like, whoa. Okay, so I had an opportunity. She was, because of that, she was very vulnerable. So I was able to get her. Vaitite, so I got her before her time. Anyway, Rebbevi Barabai is listening into this conversation, and he finds it rather shocking that, I mean, we're talking about life and death over here, and these guys are talking about mistakes and fail-proof systems and whatever and breakdowns in the system. Oh, my God. He's thinking, who knows how bad these breakdowns can be. He's not happy. So Rebbevi Barabai says, wait a minute over here. You're telling me you guys have permission to do this kind of nonsense, make mistakes, and then decide whether she's staying or not staying? I thought you have a job to do. So the Malach HaMava said, hey, man, you never read the Pasuk in Mishlei? V'yesh nispeh b'lo mishpat. No, accidents happen. So Rebbevi Barabai says to the Malach HaMava, but it also says, dor holech v'dor ba, that generations have a time, and that means that the individuals have times, don't they? And then you need to finish that time, and now you've messed it all up. Omar, so the Malach HaMava says, well, no, I mean, obviously, I can't actually bring in the wrong person into the wrong generation. I just sort of take her along with me. You know, we have this little wagon where we take the mistakes, and I carry her around with me until the time is up. Ad demala luhuladara. So then, after the number of years are over, and then I hand them over to the malach that is Achroi, who is called Duma. Duma nafshi. This is like, okay, person goes to the shaol. So Rebbevi said, but that doesn't explain what you do with the missing years. The bottom line is, it's all very nice to say that you deliver him up into Duma at the right time, but those years were allotted for a generation, so what happened to them? There weren't enough years now for that door. Oh, that. Well, I figure we get a balance of plus years, right? So there might be some good people. Maybe there's like a big Talmud Chacham, and he's a fine person because he's Mavir B'Mile. So he is not makpid on his feelings and his anger, and he doesn't take any revenge on anybody or ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's a good guy, and he deserves those extra years. So because he's Mevater, this is a good place to put the extra years. So I add them to his account. So in the door, basically the door gets to live all of those years, and now Havi Chilufe. So he now takes the place of the one who was taken away. So I do give it to him. But basically, he's got to be the kind of person that is willing to give up his rights. His rights were to take revenge and to ask for his enemies to be destroyed. And because of that, it's sort of like a mida kineged mida. Okay, so I guess, we're sort of in the middle of the sugya, but we could stop here. And then we could deal with some of the issues, maybe, that we spoke about. We had to skip because it was Erev Shabbos and we were in a rush. But we spoke about the din of taking Meiser Ani from those areas where Shemitah is not Nog. So maybe we can have a little bit of discussion on that. I want to get the Gemara. We had basically the Gemara in Mayat Kotten. One second. I'll be right back. So basically, you will recall, even though it was somewhat of machlokas Rashi and Tosfos, exactly what the inyan was. But we had the shita of Rebbe, right? And Rebbe said that this starts off really the main sugya is the sugya in Gittin, where we talk about prusbel. We want to know, well, how could Hillel have made a takana that goes against the Torah? The Torah says that you're supposed to be mashmit your loans, and he's making this little game that you can't be mashmit alone. So over there, the Gemara answers, Abaya answers, that it's going aliba de Rebbe. And we had the same sugya before in Moed Kot. So it's going on Liba the Rebbe, and Rebbe holds v'zed var hashmita shmot. B'shtei shmitot ha-katuv medaber, achat shmitat karka, v'achat shmitat ksafim. So only where there's a din of shmitat karka, then you're mishamet ksafim. But if you're not mishamet karka, then yata mishamet ksafim. The Rabbonan were the ones who wanted to be metaken, that it should be zecher l'shvius. So because of that, Hillel saw that there were problems because of the takana de Rabbonan, and people were not lending each other money. So he went ahead and was metaken the prusval. Okay, what exactly the meaning of it was, whether he was talking about Shemitah's karka in terms of Yovel, or whether he was talking about Shemitah's karka in terms of the impact of the dinim of Shemitah. But the bottom line is, it's clear, according to both of them, that Shemitah of Ksafim is dependent on the din of Yovel, and for some reason, it's clear that Yovel is not Noheg Bizman Hazeh, and therefore Shvius is only a Zecher L'Shvius. Okay, so if that's the case, we've got all of these dinim. That means it was really up to the Rabbonan to decide what we should do, and the Rabbonan decided, let's give Meiser Oni. Now, I mean, the question is, if we're going to say that, as the Rabbeinu Tam asks over here, didn't we have the whole sugi of Shalosh Haratzot? Shalosh Haratzot Lebiur, and it included Aver HaYarden. And here we're saying that Amon Umoav are Meiser Meiser Oni B'Shvius, but doesn't that mean that Aver HaYarden, because that's where Aver HaYarden is, right? Doesn't that include Aver HaYarden? Hainu Eretz Sichon V'Og, asks Tosfos. So how in the world could we say, on the one hand, that the Shalosh Haratzot is Lebiur, which means that there is Shvius Noyeg there, and here say, well, the Chachomim Bedavka, when they came, they weren't Mekadesh these areas to make sure that there wouldn't be a din of Shemitah at all, and because of that, you could take off Meiser Oni in these places. So how do you explain that, asks the Rabbeinu Tam. So this is that statosis that we had on Erev Shabbos, on Daf Gimel. Oh, was that yesterday we had? Sorry, it was Matzoy Shabbos. So how exactly we would explain this? Now, obviously, we could make it dependent in whether Kiddush Rishon is Kichel HaShaiter, Kichel HaSid Lavai, but then that would prove that Rebbe Eliezer holds low Kicha, so, and that the Gemara doesn't bring. So Rabbeinu Tam wants to say that there's two completely different areas. This is very Nogea today. That we're talking about Amon Umoav, that Sichon and Og never captured. Remember, Sichon and Og were Metayer, Amon and Moav, but they didn't capture the entire Amon and Moav. So in Achinami, Eivar Yarden is talking about the area of Sichon and Og, but areas that were not captured by Sichon and Og, even though they were actually available to the Eilei Bavel, they Bedavka didn't give them any Kedusha. And because of that, we now can decide what we want to do with it. He gives another teretz that maybe Eivar HaYarden was only Eretz Sichon, Mamish. And even what Sichon had captured from Amon wasn't included. It's another possibility. Okay, but in any event, it seems pretty clear that everybody is agreed, at least in those Gemaras, everybody's agreed that there certainly is no Yovel, and because of that, there's no Shemitah. So exactly who argues? I mean, the Gemara says it's Karebi. That's Mashma, that there's somebody who doesn't agree with Rebbe. But is there? We never really find anybody who doesn't agree with Rebbe. I mean, it's true that the Gemara gives another answer. That was a biased answer. And the Gemara answers all over that there's other terutzim for how to understand it. Not like Rebbe. But, I mean, it's not clear that he's saying that it has to be not like Rebbe. He's just saying that you don't need to come on Karebi. So, okay, many take on that since the Gemara says Rebbe, that there is a machlokas. That's what it's mashma. For most of the Rishonim talk about a Chachomim that we don't know where these Chachomim are, other than by inference. It's interesting. Part of the heter of the heter mechira of Rav Kook was to show that nobody argues on Rebbe. I mean, obviously Rav Kook is made that there are Rishonim that say that there are Ashitas against Rebbe, but he wanted to prove that none of the poskim take into consideration a different Shita, in which case, for sure, Shmita Bizman HaZeh would only be Darabanan, and based on that, he was Mako with the Heterim Mechira and so on. But it seems to be absolutely clear that everyone agrees that Yovel is not Noeg Bizman HaZeh. Now, that's very interesting, because why would that be, that Yovel is not Noeg Bizman HaZeh? This is all background to the issues that we're going to be discussing, getting back to Shemitah, Bezrat Hashem. I think we'll have time now in these sugyas to be able to really invest more in the Shemitah. So let's think about the sugya of Yovel. So the Gemara says, we know that once Shevet Reuven and Gad were the first ones to go into Golas, when they went into Golas, that was the end of Yovel. Why? Because it says, Ukrosam Drobo Aretz, Lekol Yoshvea. Lekol Yoshvea means Bizman Shekol Yoshvea Aleha. So it has to be a time when all of Yisrael is there, and if these Shvatim are missing, so then forget about it. What's more, says the Gemara, you might think that even if Kol Yoshvea are Aleha, but the Yoshvim Uravim, Shevet Binyamin BeYehuda, and Shevet Yehuda is mixed up with Binyamin, and that itself is enough. No. Talmud Lomar L'chol Yoshveha. It has to be Yoshveha Ketikuna. It has to be in the correct place, that everybody knows where their Nachla is, not Stamya people all mixed up. How does that make sense that they'd be mixed up? But then we're going to start talking about the idea of Yovel, which is that everybody has to have their place. We're going to be giving back all of the karka. It's absurd. It doesn't apply because nobody's in their place anyway. So therefore, since we don't have that, even if we would have everybody, we wouldn't have that if they're Mu'uravim. So even if nowadays we would have Rove of Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael, which we're at least close to, but we don't have the Nachalas worked out. So, I mean, basically, no matter what, we would not have, because we have other Shitas as well, there's some of the Rishonim, including the Ramban Tainas, that Yovel is only Yovel when Bezdin is Mena the years. That's like Sfiras HaOmer. We have the Sfiras HaYovel. And then they're Vikidash, the Mishnot HaChamishim. So when they're Mekadesh, Bezdin is Mekadesh. And that is the whole thing with the Tkiah Shofar and Bezdin and the Avonim going out and so on. We don't have any of that. So it's not merely that we do not have people in their correct place. We don't have any of the Inyonim of the Kedusha of Yovel that would be Koveya. And the fact is that if there's no way to be Mekayim the Inyonim of Yovel, in which everybody has their places and the fields go back to them and people know their Nachalos, what would be the meaning of Yovel? Yovel is not a year just like Shviyas, not to work the earth. It's a completely different aspect of going back to the initial Shoresh of the way things were. So, okay, so now that seems to be a given. The question, by the way, of what would be the din if you would have at some later point, that we'll talk about, let's say we would be Yorish Eretz Yisrael and gradually build up the number of people and gradually build up the union of the Nachalas. There's an interesting sheet of the Briska Rav about this, which we'll discuss in a moment. But now getting back to the din of Shemitah, Bizman HaZeh. So, look, there are certainly Rishonim that Paskin like the Chachomim, even though we don't know who these Chachomim are, because the Gemara keeps identifying a Rebbe, and therefore, there are those, including the Rush, who Paskins like the Chachomim, and seem to hold that Shvius is actually Noeg Bizman HaZeh. So even though Yovel isn't Noeg, but since you hold that Kedusha Shnia is Bludairais, and it's not dependent in the Kivush. By the way, I wanted to mention what I think is a beautiful Nakuda that I just come to understand, which is that Everybody's bothered by the fact that, well, I mean, like, why is it that because the Kedusha is in terms of Kibush, therefore it's Bato, whereas when you have much less of a right, you weren't able to be Kovesh, and you really couldn't assert your rights, that those rights are not Bato. Isn't that strange? But then I realized that's Mamish the Pshat. It's all about Purim. Fantastic. Where things are done mechanically, they are Bato. The minute the mechanics are Bato, so then the achievement is Bato. But where things are achieved emergently, they just happen that way, that the UN gives you Eretz Yisrael. I don't know what the heck got into their brain. I mean, they spent the rest of the 50 years trying to figure out how to screw us out of Eretz Yisrael. But the bottom line is that the emergent situation was such that we end up back in Eretz Yisrael with the Rishus of the Umay Sa'elam, right? Okay, so then emergent things are always more real. That's the idea of Shlichus Yad. So since a physical, which wasn't supposed to be the need, remember, we're supposed to just be able to walk into Eretz Yisrael and everybody would move out of the way and there would be a recognition that it belongs to Klal Yisrael. But since we need it to be Isaac and Kibush, and this was, remember, with the whole story of Yaakov Avinu, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu added an additional giving of Eretz Yisrael to Yaakov Avinu, Lu'ul Zaracha Etenet Eretz Hazot, and that he made easy through Kivush by having the entire Eretz Yisrael, so to speak, fold up under Yaakov Avinu, Kidei Shitei Nocha Li'ikabesh Ayidei Banav. So we got this lower level of Yerusha, which was an assertion of rights rather than the automatic achievement of rights in terms of Revach Vatzalah Yamod Yodimi Makom Acher. It happens. Is somebody explain how it happens? It's so complex. But it happens. It emerges. Okay, so that turns out to be a greater zechus. And we'll talk in a moment about that. The Rambam, who makes the point of the difference between Kivush and Kedusha Shechina, and so on and so forth. Okay, but many of the other Tosfos, and most of the Rishonim, including Tosfos himself, there on the Daf, and most other Rishonim, and this includes Rashi, where he takes for granted, the Sefer HaChinuch says this, and the Smak says this, and the Tur says this. That means most of the poskim agree that the Adin of Shmit Bisman Hazeh is the Rabbonan. Like Rebin, as I mentioned earlier, according to Rav Kook, there is no Rabbonan. He says most of the Rishonim don't mention the Rabbonan, and so it's not necessary to read otherwise. Now, there is a very interesting shita of the Rambam about this, which is different than everyone else, and there's a big machlokas how to read the Rambam. So the Rambam says that Bisman Shayovel Noeg, this is his halacha, how he puts it, Bisman Shayovel Noeg Noeg Din Eved Ivri, Vidin Bati Ore Chema, and so on and so forth. And then he talks about Shvias. Vinohega Shvias Ba'oretz, Vashmatat Ksafim B'chol Makom, Min HaTorah. Ubizman she'ein ha'yovel noeg, eino noeg echad mikol eila. Chutz mishviyiz ba'aretz, v'ashmotas k'sofim b'chom akom, midivrayim. Now the question is, how do you read that? Do you read hashmotas k'sofim b'chom akom midivrayim, but shviyiz ba'aretz is noeg even midiraisa? I mean, that's a little bit weird, but that's exactly the way the Kesef Mishnah understands the Rambam, even though it's very strange. He learns that the Midivrayim is only going on the Ksafim, and that the Shemitah remains a D'oraisa. And it's very, very difficult to believe that that's the Pshat, especially since other early Gersos of the Rambam mentioned Beferish, Shemitah, is also Midrabbanan. But in any event, what the Rambam does say is that the idea of the difference between the Kedusha Sa'aretz, so this the Rambam brings in Hilchos Beis HaBechira, where he makes the difference between Kivush and the Kedusha of the Shechina, which according to him, remember, is the Never Bottle, and therefore all of the dinim of the Beis HaMikdash are still in place. So Chiyav Ha'aretz B'Shvi'it, he mentions there, B'Shvi'it U'B'Ma'asrot, Eno Ela Mipneshu Kibush Rabin. And Chiyav, therefore, that's the Chayav B'Shvias U'Maisres, Ala Derech Shebi'arnu B'Hilchos Truma. But in Hilchos Truma, the Rambam says beferish, Truma bezman hazeh eina min haTorah, ela midivreihem. She'ein lecha Truma, ela be'eretz Yisrael bilvad, bezman shekol Yisrael sham. Listen to this weird shita. She'nemar ki tavou, and ki tavou means biat kulchem. There's only one problem. There's no such pasuk. The Rambam makes up a pasuk. It doesn't say anything about ki tavou in the dinim of Truma. The dinim of the ki tavou was goof for the pasuk ki tavou that we just said in Rebbe, right? Because they're said bedafka in that context of the dinim of Shemitah and not in the dinim of Truma. So this is where the Reb Chaim Brisker has his yesod of what the Rambam Shita is. He's referring, of course, to the pasuk of ki tavou that is said in Shvius. But that means that even though by Truma doesn't say ki tavou, he understands that Trumas and Maisras are dependent in the Shemitah because they're defined by the years of Shemitah. When do you bring Maisr Ani? When do you bring Maisr Sheni? All of this is a function of the years of Shemitah. So it's obvious that these other Chiyuvim are dependent in Shemitah, in which case if the Rambam's bringing the din of Truma Bizman as a Drabbanan only because of the pasuk that appears by Shemitah, so then obviously he holds that the Shemitah is also Drabbanan, in which case Nining Biat Kulchem is a Biat Kulchem that is applied to Shemitah as well. Except that Reb Chaim Brisker holds that the Bias Kulchem is a definition of the Bia, not of the situation. So in other words, if the original Aliyah to Eretz Yisrael was an Aliyah of Kulchem, so then it's included in these Dinim D'Oraisa. But if it's a gradual process in which the Bia itself was not a Biat Kulchem, and that wasn't the time that the Yerusha was made, then it's not going to change. It's referring to that moment, according to which there is no way to simply create Kedushas HaOretz without a Bia of Kulchem, in which case, for sure, the Matz of today would be, even if we don't paskin all of these other Inyanim, that there would be no Din of Shemitah, of Yovel, and therefore there would be no Din of Shemitah, and therefore there would be no Din of Chiyav of Truma, D'Oraisa. So because Truma and Shvius would be the same. Okay, anyway, so much for a beginning of the understanding of the interrelationship to the sugya of where and when, and then Bezrat Hashem will get back to the sugyas that we had left off about what halachas are, in fact, Bizman HaZeh, in the various shiurim where Chazal gave us these different kulas that we're somech on to be discussed.